this month, for June actually, but Dan is not here tonight today, and he asked me if I would read the announcements for him. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a thriving faith community who shares God's love, builds bridges, and inspires spiritual transformation. We are a community that seeks to learn, practice, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please join us as we continue to evolve through prayer, devotion, and service. In today's psalm, we are reminded that hope in the Lord, for with God there is steadfast love. Wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionlesueur.com. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so that we can personally greet you. And finally, please fill out your prayer request and turn it into the ushers. The radio broadcast this morning is sponsored by Leroy Haas in memory of Carol Haas. The bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. This morning, we will have information shared on the One Great Hour of Sharing, and the One Great Hour of Sharing collection will take place this morning. The First Lutheran Church is hosting the Lenten services on Wednesday. Please come and hear about Turbulent from Pastor Sam. The Lenten Supper will begin at 6 o'clock and the service at 6:30. The Minnesota Food Shelf March campaign runs for the month of March, March 1st through April 6th. The Le Sueur Food Shelf relies on the generosity of the community to keep the shelves stocked with healthy food. During this time, all food and funds collected will be proportionately matched. The more that is collected, the greater the match will be received. This morning, we are welcoming Pastor Sana Del Corazon to Zion UCC as our intentional interim minister. Pastor Sana is the daughter of a Puerto Rican immigrant who grew up Pentecostal in Philadelphia. Sana graduated from United Theological Seminary of the Twin Cities with a Master of Divinity. She is a licensed mental health therapist, trained policy and analyst, spiritual director, writer, weightlifting enthusiast, community organizer, PTO president, and perpetual student of life. This is her first interim call, and she is very excited about serving Zion UCC. We are grateful to have her here, and she will lead us in worship today for the first time. I also want to draw your attention to an announcement that's in the bulletin, and to let you know that this Easter, 2 weeks from today, we are having a Easter sunrise meditation at 7 o'clock and an Easter hunt. And there will be food. We're also having a breakfast. So be sure and set your clocks early so that you can wake up and join us for this Easter meditation. We will, of course, have our 9 o'clock Eastern service with communion. Now let us prepare for worship.
Good morning. As Eileen said, this morning we will collect our first special mission offering of the year, part of our ongoing efforts to be a 5 for 5 church every year, and that is One Great Hour of Sharing. For over 75 years, the One Great Hour of Sharing offering has been helping Christians bring God's hope and healing to hurting people, both in the U.S. and around the world. OGEHS's mission is to support domestic and international development, fight poverty and its consequences, bring aid and relief to communities torn by war or ravaged by natural disaster, provide advocacy and resettlement assistance for refugees and displaced persons, and combat injustice in its many forms. And with the news lately, I think it's a very appropriate time to be taking this offering. OGHS provides funding and hands-on assistance in collaboration with local international partners. There is a flyer in your bulletin that highlights some of the things that this money goes towards. This year specifically, they supported Mediterranean Hope in Italy, which was refugee and migrant services. They supported International Assistance Mission in Afghanistan, which provided eye care, prosthetics, mental health, and rehabilitation efforts. And another effort was Children's Future International in Cambodia, which provided community development and anti-human trafficking programs. I've done this mission moment several times, and I learned something new this year. In the United Church of Christ, the Global Hope Team is the team that oversees the distribution of this offering, and HOPE stands for Humanitarian Opportunities, Partnerships, and Empowerment. You can learn more about that at ucc.org/global-hope. Thank you for supporting One Great Hour of Sharing for over 75 years. You continue to embody a love offering to the world.
Almighty God, as we enter this season of Lent, we ask you to prepare our hearts . Let us come face to face with those things within us that are hindering our relationship with you. Let us reflect on where we are so we can see clearly where you want us to be. Let us repent for choosing to live for things. That are not your will for us. Make us aware of any distractions and selfish desires, so we may choose to give them up. And replace them with all the good and perfect things that come from you. Let us seek to live and love like Jesus did as we walk through this journey with him toward Easter. May our faith grow as every day we become a little more like Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Sana de Corazon. And this is my first Sunday with you, so I'm excited to be here. Today is the fifth Sunday of Lent, and let's prepare for worship by making sure our phones are on silent. To prepare our hearts and mind, I invite you to sit comfortably in your seat, plant your feet on the ground if you can, and take some deep breaths as we bring our awareness to this space. Please join me in the call to worship. Let us come into God's house with gladness. Surely God is here.
Let us extol God with praise and joyful songs.
As we worship, let us remember all the blessing God gives to us.
For he is our God, and it is right for us to be grateful.
The Lord is our shepherd.
We shall not want.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to offer you our praise this morning, eager to hear you as we sing, learn, and commune. Pour out your spirit of love over us. Clarify our intentions. Purify our actions. Fill our words with grace and our hearts with hope. In this season of Lent, we seek your presence even as we fast, pray, and share our financial resources. May this hour fill us with confidence because of your love and grace. Amen. Now we will have the opening hymn, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation, number 400. Confession. Loving God, help us when we turn our backs on love, when we seek immediate satisfaction instead of long-term healing. Help us. Merciful God, forgive us when we have been selfish, when we have been impatient, when we have closed our hearts to the cries of others. Forgive us. Powerful God, heal us. When we are so broken we cannot move, when we don't know how to mend our open wounds, and when we are too ashamed to see community, heal us. Give us the courage, the strength, and the hope to accept your grace and hear your call in Christ. Let's have a moment for silent prayer.
Thank you.
God, there is always forgiveness, making new life possible. In the name of Christ, whose body God raised to life, know that we are forgiven, and may the Spirit of God dwell within you. The passing of the peace serves as a tangible reminder that we are one body in Christ, intimately related and connected to one another, and called to extend grace to one another. Now we have a moment to rejoice and share the peace of Christ with one another. May the peace of God be with you.
And also with you.
Now I read from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is a steadfast love, and with him it is a great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all of its iniquities. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the word. Amen. Our gospel lesson is from John 11, verses 1 through 44. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory that he, Son of God, may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. After having heard of Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of the world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the light. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you would always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hand and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Cindy, for reading that very long text. We survived. Let us pray. God of creation, we acknowledge your presence with us again this morning. Fill this sanctuary with your spirit. I ask that you open our hearts and minds to receive your word, that all who hear may be touched by your love and grace. May you speak through me and in spite of me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So I realize I named this sermon, "Is It Over Yet?" Now I'm worried you're going to be thinking that the whole time. Is she done yet? No, okay. It should be, "Are We Done Yet?" I first heard about Zion United Church of Christ in 2022 when I was a student at United Theological Seminary of the Twin Cities. Pastor Rosemary Rocha, which I used to call her Rocha, thinking she had a Spanish last name, by the way, she doesn't, contacted my preaching professor, Dr. Gary Green, to get recommendations of students for pulpit supply. He referred her to me. Pastor Rocha and I corresponded briefly over email, we spoke on the phone, but ultimately I wasn't able to preach. I guess it wasn't my time. So let me back a little bit and tell you about my spiritual journey, since this is my first time preaching here. 18 years ago, I felt a call to ministry, but back then I was unchurched and what I like to say, roaming the wilderness. I had left the church of my youth because our beliefs and theology no longer aligned. My understanding of God, Jesus, and Spirit were evolving, and I needed a space and community that encouraged exploration and questioning, but who also could affirm my identity and sexuality. So there began my search for a new spiritual home. For almost a decade, I was a spiritual seeker on a solo trip. I learned and practiced spiritual practices like meditation, chanting, yoga, affirmations, hiking in nature, and breathing exercises. I studied wisdom teachers from non-Christian sources, and one particular teacher encouraged me to go back and explore the faith tradition of my ancestors. With that nudge, I made my way back to Jesus and the Christian community. I would love to tell you that my journey to ordained ministry was easy and simple after that, but it was not. After 4 years at my first UCC church, the leadership decided they could no longer walk with me in my discernment process because we weren't aligned in how to address prejudice in the church. So with their glowing reviews about my leadership, the community released me to my current church home. And then 2 years ago, my life as I knew it fell apart again, and I questioned my call to ministry. Could I minister as a single parent after being a stay-at-home mom for 10 years? Did I have the strength, support, faith, and fortitude to lead a spiritual community? And most importantly, where was God in all this? Why was this so hard and taking so long? Those were my real questions as I asked myself frequently in the last 2 years when I doubted and I felt defeated. What I do know is that these experiences shaped and formed me into the faith leader I am today. I know this hard truth. We as humans are most open to spirit when we are troubled, when we face challenges, when we are experiencing some sort of death. That's when our hearts are the most open to God. I also learned that God's timing isn't my timing. Although Diane, our church administrator, will already attest that I tend to be tardy, I'm working on this. God's timing rarely matches our own. It doesn't always make sense. And sometimes that can lead us to question God's love and God's power. God's time can be slow and deliberate, but God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. What I learned through my spiritual journey is that God wasn't done with me yet and has always been with me. With time, prayer, and God's persistence, I have finally made it here to Zion UCC. In today's gospel, we also see that God wasn't done with Lazarus either. In John 11, we read about Lazarus, a dear friend of Jesus who has fallen ill. And if you've been in church long enough, you know this story well. Lazarus' sister, Mary, and Martha, both of whom Jesus loved and considered dear friend, send word to Jesus, expecting him to come immediately and heal their brother. But he doesn't. Instead, he says, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And he stays where he is for two more days. I'll be honest, I almost didn't preach on this story of Lazarus because this one is hard for me. On many levels, I don't understand the story. I don't understand why Jesus allows his friends and people he says he loves to suffer for the sake of God's glory. I don't understand why Jesus tells his disciples that Lazarus is asleep when he's dead. I don't understand why he avoids Martha's tortured accusation, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not be dead." I don't understand why Jesus raises just one man and leaving countless others in the grave. I don't understand why Jesus delays when he receives word of Lazarus' illness. I think to myself, God, make this make sense. But it doesn't. Today, I want to linger on Jesus' delay. See, Jesus didn't jump into action when he heard the news of his friend's illness. But he paused. He waited. He intentionally waited. Something in him knew that leaping up and taking action about something he probably didn't have control of was not what he was called to do. Instead, Jesus stayed where he was and listened for God, even as his friends were expecting him to act quickly. Because the truth is, Jesus could have kept his friend from dying, but he intentionally waited. Can you imagine doing that? Your friends are desperate and asking you for help because a loved one is dying. Could you pause, pray, and wait on God's time if the Spirit nudged you to do so? Because I can't. I'm not the most patient person. I'm constantly trying to help God move things along. I can't imagine waiting and pausing and being so sure of God's timing and believing everything was going to be okay, especially if my friend is sick and at death's door. This is why I'm not God. When Jesus intentionally pauses, we get to know something about who Jesus is and how he operates. At this moment, God, through Jesus, doesn't follow the rhythms of this world, a world that believes time is money and a society that values productivity and action and movement and everything must happen now and now and now. Shouldn't we do something to show our worth? We must be doing something, helping someone, be useful. We can't have idle hands. God forbid the devil gets to us. But this story tells us that this is not true. There is a place for pause, for waiting, for stillness, for listening to the Spirit. Because God is the author of time. And time is not bound by human systems or mortal timing. God doesn't always show up when or how we want God to, but God always shows up because God is always with us. Let me be clear. In focusing on Jesus' pause, I'm not ignoring or minimizing the rising of the dead, the conquering of the grave, the unbinding of the bound. I am a Christian because I believe in the resurrection. I believe it as a metaphor and as a symbol. I believe that God can and will bring back to life all that is dead, buried, forgotten, festering within us. Old wounds, hardened hearts, stubborn addictions, terrible fears. I believe that God is in the business of making us more fully and abundantly alive. Alive to love, alive to hope, alive to each other, and alive to creation. I also believe in the literal resurrection. I believe in life after our physical deaths. I believe that the good news of the gospel is that Jesus actually conquered death. We were not made for the grave. Something deep inside us knows that we are created for life, and we feel robbed when life is taken away. So the literal raising of Lazarus is a sign that death will not have the last word. And I hold these beliefs in a world full of sorrow, full of despair, full of destruction and uncertainty. In a world where Mary and Martha wondered why Jesus delayed when they said to him, "If you had been here, our brother would not be dead." Why did you delay? That's what they're asking. And no answer could suffice. Instead, Jesus cried. Even though his delay was intentional and Jesus knew Lazarus would rise again, Jesus weeps with the sisters and with the community. He feels their pain and suffering. He cries with them because the promise of joy doesn't count the essential work of grief when a loss has taken place. It doesn't take away the illness or the memory of saying goodbye to a life he loved or the gaping absence Lazarus' sister felt when he died. Jesus' tears honors the reality of human change. Jesus grieves because things will never be the same again. And this is what I want you to remember this morning, in case you weren't listening. Zion UCC is very much alive. And I witnessed this on my first day in the church office when I joined the 10 a.m. music and worship team meeting with a room full of enthusiastic volunteers who were planning Sunday services and were asking their new pastor for ideas and were even open to the crazy idea of a sunrise Easter service. I heard and saw it on Wednesday afternoon when energetic children arrived after school for Fusion, and I met many volunteers who make that special program happen. I see how the children felt known and were running around the building like they were at home. And yet, Zion has gone through changes when Pastor Jan stepped down 6 months ago, and many others had to step in to fill her shoes. Whether or not a change is good or bad, change involves loss, and inevitably that includes grief. Grief because things won't be the same. Grief because loved ones have moved on. Grief because of the uncertainty of what to come. So here, in the aftermath of loss, I want to urge you to consider Jesus' pause. Sometimes there's nothing to be said in the face of loss. Sometimes tears are our best and most honorable language. We who are religious often rush to words, feeling an urgent need to wrap up other people's pain in platitudes and Bible verses and promises. But through Jesus' wordless tears, he cautions us to pause. He shows us that silence too is faithful, and silence can be love. But I don't necessarily want you to be silent or stay silent. I want to encourage you to pause to reflect on where we have been as a community, to acknowledge and feel the losses and gains, joys and sorrows that have happened in the last couple of years. You have chosen an interim minister, that's me, to guide you during this transition period for a reason. Our time together is an opportunity to practice what Jesus did for 4 days. We had no idea what Jesus was doing those 4 days, except besides upsetting Mary and Martha. That's the mystery of God's timing. We don't actually know what's happening elsewhere or why. Pausing doesn't mean we stop everything. It means we take time to reflect, to listen to God's voice, and to imagine the future we want together. May it be so. Amen.
This is the time that we officially welcome and bless Pastor Sana's time with us and her service to us and our friendship and relationship. The litany of blessing appears on the screens. Please join with me. Dear friends, baptized in the priesthood of Christ, we are all called by the Holy Spirit to offer ourselves to the God of all creation in thanksgiving, for what God has done and continues to do for us. Today, we give thanks to God for the ministry that God has given the people of Zion United Church of Christ, for the faithful service of its members and former pastors, most recently Pastor Jan. And now we begin a new part of this journey with our intentional interim pastor. We ask God's guidance for our ministry and are going together in prayer. Gracious God, you have blessed us and sustained us for many years and have given us the life together in all the community of this congregation. Be with us now, we pray, as we enter in this in-between time. Comfort us as we grieve the past or look to the future. Bless us and guide us as we reflect upon our history and our dreams about our future, so that we might be strengthened in this congregation with courage, patience, and vision, and strengthen us in our Christian vocation of witness to the world and service to others through Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we begin this intern time together, we begin new relationships. I have been called as your interim pastor to be God's servant among you during this special time, until that time when you called a settled pastor. I pledge to you my commitment as a minister of the gospel among you. I will pray for you, listen to you, assist you in the task of this interim period, encouraging and challenging you as we move through this time together.
And we, the people of Zion United Church of Christ, receive you, Pastor Sana, as a servant of God and pledge our partnership as we continue to use the gifts God has given us in the many ministries of the gospel in this place, in worship, education, witness, service, and stewardship.
May God bless us and lead us. We together embark on this interim journey, and may we view this time as a time of learning and growth as God's Spirit instructs and prepares us for the future mission and ministry of the church in this place. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you. Okay. Do we have any prayer cards? No? No? We're going to work on that. Okay. Let us pray. Come, let us unite in the prayer for the church throughout the world. God of all, you would have us all be called into new life. Remove from us the temptation to mistake our words for yours, and grant us the courage to step away from death and darkness into the joys of life in your light. We wait for you, O God. Enduring and persistent God, remind us of the power of your breath. You have led your people through deserts and wilderness lands filled with despair and confusion. You lead us still. In these years of transition and change, make us mindful that you are a God of life, a God who reanimates dry, dusty bones and calls the dead to live again. You are doing that for this church even now. Let us not be afraid of the power of your breath and the wonders that come to us on the winds of change. We thank you for all those who are called to lead the church. Breathe new life in us so that all that is dry and dusty may come to life anew. We wait on you, O God. God, whose image bears every person, show us how to share the burdens of your people so that we may also participate in their joys. Too many people and nations know only war and devastation left in its wake. Show us how to achieve the impossible, a world of peace and justice for all your children. Only with our hands will there be enough food, water, medicine, and safety for those whose lives are at risk. In you, we know that the only power we ought to share with one another is that of love and compassion. That will save innocent lives. Call out our complacency into a world of light and possibility. We wait for you, O God. Patient and loving God, we know that your love is for the whole of creation and that our nation is just one of many. We are blessed with abundance that we take for granted and don't always understand. Because we have been gifted with so much, much is asked of us in this world. Lead us to a place of balance where needs are met and strangers are welcome without fear. Be with all those who lead this country. Guide them, each of us, in our decisions that we make every day, that new life may rise up again. We wait for you, O God. God who calls into life, we lift up to you all who are struggling with health, mind, body, and spirit. How often we turn away from those in need, forgetting that when we do, we turn away from you. Lead us to be agents of grace, healing, and new life to all who are in need. We wait for you, O God. Living and amazing God, as much as we may long for you to call our loved ones back from death, as you did with Lazarus, we trust that they rest in you even while our own hearts are heavy with grief. We lift up to you all those who mourn, especially those loved ones who were murdered or died by suicide or sudden unexpected deaths. Heal the brokenhearted and remind us that not even death can separate us from your love. God, who calls each of us to new life, we worship you and we sing your praises. Remove all that prevents us from experiencing the fullness of life in you that we may overflow with joy and gratitude. We are the body of Christ in this place, and we offer ourselves to you that your breath will fill us and we have the courage to leave all darkness behind. We pray in Christ's name. Now we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Okay. Giving is an act of faith. We believe that we have to offer what we have to offer makes a difference in the world. But more than that, we believe that the one who is behind our giving, we may not see God in the flesh. We might find it difficult to find glimpses of God, but God is doing something in and through us. Likewise, we may not see the effects of when we give. Somebody's not happy. It's okay. I'm almost done, I promise. But we believe, trusting in the one who is faithful for new mercies. Often we can only see by faith day by day. I invite you, my siblings in Christ, to give now as an act of faith. life-giving Spirit, let these offerings show your many blessings. May our offerings, like our living Spirit, testify to your abundance and your eternal life in Christ, who calls people out of the grave and into grace, we pray. Amen. Please join me for hymn, Lift High the Cross. Yes? Okay.